The History Man with Terry Kringle.
Hello. The Isle of Man has a number of firsts to its name. Votes for women, for instance. The Derby, of course, and long before Billy Butlin started up Britain's first holiday camp. Cunningham's International Young Men's Holiday Camp was launched in 1887 by a Liverpool baker called Joseph Cunningham, who was involved in working lads' institutes in the city and came to the island after encountering problems in organising summer camps for them. He set up a permanent tented camp on the headland overlooking the shore at Growdle, and soon it had 600 young men campers a week there in the summer months. It was so successful that in 1904, Mr. Cunningham moved to 5 acres of open land at Victoria Road in Douglas, where he could expand. Soon it had 1,500 bell tents there, pitched with military precision. They all had beds, a mirror on the central pole, a wooden floor, and they could accommodate 8 young men at a time. There was nowhere like it in the British Isles. What became known as the Canvas City was also almost self-sufficient in giving its inhabitants 4 meals a day, breakfast, lunch, tea and supper, all served in a gigantic dining hall big enough to seat 3,000 people. Mr. Cunningham ran the camp with his wife, and their supplies of food came from a farm they had at Ellerslie. But if the camp was popular with holidaymakers, it was not popular with its rivals in the boarding house and hotel business, because it was a much cheaper option. The First World War started in 1914, and the tourist industry was brought to a halt. Cunningham's camp being taken over for the detention of so-called enemy aliens living in Britain. There were 2,600 of them eventually, guarded by armed British soldiers. It was business as usual, though, when the war ended in 1918. Cunningham's camp was still for young men only. Women were still strictly not allowed. But there were plenty of local girls who flocked to the dances held in the camp ballroom, looking for holiday romance. Meanwhile, the Cunningham family became highly respected in social circles, and he became the island's Boy Scout Commissioner, while Mrs. Cunningham became the island's Commissioner of Girl Guides. In the 1920s and 1930s, the camp expanded to the point where it could accommodate up to 4,000 young men. At the same time, however, tents began to be abandoned in favour of permanent chalets and dormitories. But you could still choose to go under canvas if you wanted to. And there were still security measures designed to prevent young men trying to smuggle young girls in with them for the night. War came again in 1939, and Cunningham's camp was called up again. It was taken over by the Royal Navy and became known as HMS St. George, a shore establishment for the basic training of boy entrants into the Navy, a role which went on full steam ahead until the end of hostilities in 1945. For the Cunningham family, it was a time to bow out of the business and sell up and retire. Their brainchild became known as the Douglas Holiday Camp, and the basic character of the place changed. Alcohol was allowed for the first time, and bars were built where there were none before. Also, at long last, girl campers were allowed. Then, in 1972, ShopRite moved in, founded by the late Ken Nicholson, and it is still, like Cunningham's camp, a family business. Finally, the story goes that Billy Butlin heard about Cunningham's camp, and he turned up asking to be shown how it was done. But all he was shown was the door